All right, well, bring Ian in and see if Ian has anything to contribute.
Yes,
is
could you continue the explanation of this process from conquering visual space to going to this non-tactile?
To non-tactile.
To the whole environment. Like, what would you ask to Mike Lujan?
I think Ian is expressing silence. Let's have Carolyn ask. Carolyn can usually break the ice. Carolyn, would you see if you could seduce Ion into communicating verbally once again?
Ion, you don't have to answer any of those questions.
How wonderful. Now we can begin. So we have attack, we have horniness, we have nakedness, we have our clothes mostly off, and we have accomplished a new feat.
A new beat.
No,
what was your first foot fetish?
Yeah, but what was the first word? A new sack? What
yeah,
was that
they
first
have a sack.
S-A-C-K.
Sack.
Holy sack.
Your conversation, not ours.
So the sack, the horniness, what was the other two?
New kind of coitus and foot fetish. And it's not necrophilia if the body's still warm. We feel like Carmack, the old Johnny Carson Carmack. That's the answer. Now y'all come up with a question.
And who's the Johnny Carson goes, I did not know that. Was that Carmack? Did he say that? I don't think so.
No, that's what Johnny Carson said. Everything he said,
right.
Everything is, I did not know that. Now, Jack Pryor was much more interesting because he was animated. He was the first shift between the bodies. Jack Parr, the shift, he broke from a radio into the TV world where he was accepted as. Now, Jack Denny
yes.
did too, but Jack Parr was the one that actually made it. Now, Walter Winchell did not make
yes.
it. He could not make that shift. He got to the radio side, but could not make the break. Couldn't make it.
And, you know, McLuhan lived next door to Jack Parr when he was at Fordham in 67, 68. They lived in Bronxville outside of Manhattan. They became friends, and McLuhan had already written about Jack Parr in Understanding Media. And when Johnny Carson came along, McLuhan just said he was stupid. So he agreed
right.
with the preference for Jack Parr over Johnny
Well, but
Carson.
No, see, but Jack Parr did something. Johnny Carson took what Jack Parr did. He opened that arc. He opened it up. There was
yeah.
no meat or fiber until Jack Parr made it fibrous. And then the rest, you know, it's just kind of how many jimmies can you do?
How many what?
Hot and cold.
Jimmies.
Jimmies.
Jimmies. The Tonight Show host now, Bob, his name is?
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Fallon.
Fallon, yeah, Jimmy Fallon.
I'm curious about silence, because there is no silence. Or would you say there is some type of silence item?
Define it.
No acoustic vibration, but everything is vibrating, and somehow our ears are going to perceive some sound, even if we try not to, like John Cage made the experiment of not hearing anything, but he will hear his heart and his blood.
Yeah, he'd hear his own cognitive processes making, the making of consciousness.
Or you're breathing, although we are not breathing anymore, but...
Then if you actually looked at it, silence being a lack of audible sound or presence of sounds of very low intensity.
And this also gets me to this Schumann resonance.
Well, if you take the second part of the silence, then there is silence. There is always the lower intensity.
It's like this electromagnetic resonance? Like there's something there?
Roxanne, you already sing it. You did the Schumann resonance.
Yes. Yes, I'm curious about the Schumann resonance because many people say many things about the Schumann resonance triggering many cycles and processes on the planet, and that it's supposed to be also like our brain waves in a theta state or an alpha state. And many say also that it's becoming faster. I would like to know what is really this Schumann resonance. And I know it cannot be like they say, 7/30 seconds. But if it's affected by the solar activity and lightning and all these things, it cannot be always the same. I'm just curious how these things are affecting us in the ionosphere.
Go with silence, the Doctor Who silence, the episode silence, the impossible astronaut.
Ian, are you a frequency in relation to Schumann frequency?
No, we are frequency. We have to get you freak on.
F-R-E-A-K. Mm-hmm. So Schumann frequency is too organized.
It doesn't work. Doesn't apply. Has holes in it. So you become a mass
wonder.
Well, no, because you've made a premise. It's not even a premise. It's saying that walking on the grass makes the grass do something, or sets a modality of how grass is when you walk on it. So therefore, as you walk on the grass is something, and then it makes something, and then the decibel levels that make that something. And the next thing you know, the grass and how that works and where the grass grows and how the grass is and where the land meets the grass and the grass is, the decibel levels of this refractive notion of this sound wave affects this outcome of this predication that's already predicated, because grass is going to do what grass is going to do anyway, except for this decibel level that comes to throw. So after a little bit of that, so what? So, fool's errand, it would be. So did you enjoy having him check you up? That was fun for us.
Yeah. Could you talk more about the transition to non-tangible?
Bob Marley.
Hey, Bob, is Carolyn available?
Yeah, okay, Kevin, go ahead.
I had heart palpitations and very rapid heartbeat the last two or three nights over the blood moon. I'm not sure what it is. I've increased my magnesium. I'm on the complete formula, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised, after having been on magnesium for quite some time, why would have that come back on me?
People will say that to me. They think all of a sudden, well, I'm on the complement formulas. Everything should be perfect from here on in, and nothing's going to bother me. And then they get a shock. Oh, my heart palpitations are back. I'm failing. Something is totally wrong in my world. The drops aren't working anymore. Don't even think like that. You may have been a bit dehydrated. You said the blood moon was up. You may have been excited. You know, a million things can happen, and it triggers a little bit of heart jumping. Now, before the remag, when I was asking Ian about my heart palpitations, he said, that's just you speeding up and going into another world. So when you look at your heart palpitations in all kinds of different angles, you just don't even worry about it.
This is what's real cool about this, is it only happens at night when I'm resting and I'm sleeping and I go into a dream state, and all of a sudden there's a rapid hyperventilation of experiences in other worlds, and all of a sudden I wake up because my heart's going really, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's totally natural. We don't need to talk about it anymore. That's what's the reason. Ian did say you palpitate when you're parallel worlding, and you're doing that when you're sleeping, so you're becoming aware of parallel worlding.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it used to be really goddamn intense.
Well, you make it intense because you didn't know till now what it was. Now that you know what it was, you'll have a concept about it that doesn't frighten you.
So is it okay, since I did increase my magnesium, that may help?
Oh, yeah, I would increase the magnesium, because on the physical body level, you don't want your physical body to get depleted and drained.
This has been real uncomfortable, and I've been on this for a while. In the last few weeks, and especially over this last moon thing, This has been very uncomfortable.
Well, welcome to our world.
Ion, help me with this.
We just helped you. It's not a problem.
It's something new. Do you have orgasms?
Yes.
Do you remember your first orgasm?
Yes.
It felt funny.
Yes, it did. It was a shock.
So is this. But after a little bit, you acquiesce to it, do you not?
What do you suggest I do now?
You got a 9mm? We can make this quick.
I want to hang around.
Then get on with it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Do whatever you want to do. Do what you're going to do. Just do it. Do that. Do that. But you're asking the question for help.
Do I need to concern myself with my heart?
Maybe if you had a new pericardium, that might help.
What would you suggest?
We're being very cheeky on purpose because what you're describing is the pre-phase ascension. You have prephasal ascension. Ascension aphasia. And that's the way to describe it.
I'm only asking for your help.
Your body is changing. Your body is changing beautifully, and it's a shock to you. What you're confusing with tachycardia or arrhythmia is nothing other than the increased stamina. Your heart muscle is pumping, and the sac that it's in isn't used to it.
Well, it's not very comfortable.
Then you have two choices, get happy or get out.
How do I get happy with that?
Embrace it. Embrace it. Remember contrast? This is what you call contrast.
Dear, I understand that. Should I take more magnesium than I'm doing?
You could, but...
Do you know where I am?
Where you are, yes.
Okay, do you know where I is?
Well, that's the problem, is the is's and the arnesses are crossed with you. And that's why you're asking...
How far apart are they?
You're exactly one pi off round. One pi off round. From a cosine beginning, you're exactly one half round off.
And how could you help me adjust that?
Okay. Then when you have a sinking problem, you have a sink problem, what's happened is you got to either slow something down or speed something up. You started off playing with this stuff, and you thought it was nothing, and you didn't know, and you were just playing with it, and you thought, oh, well, let's see. And you bit yourself off a great big old mouthful in this astral projection until you found yourself going to other worlds, and all of a sudden it was a white-knuckle flight, and you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And we said, there's no going back. You knew this as you went along, and that's a good thing. All you're now asking is there ways to help your body continue with the ascension process? Amino acids are the key to bringing you into this next. We've killed those damn five bodies, thank God. Now what's happening is the body's kicking a bit. It was desiring the amino acid balance base, and that's what you're working on. Describe your intake and when you take your RNA drops. Describe that.
We take about 5 or 6 twice a day.
Move it up. Definitely.
Okay. What about party liquor? Is that a problem?
Not for us.
Well, for me, is it?
Now, if you're talking about anything outside the body that changes your inertia, and that's what that does, is how you process it, okay? Then we think that you should go. Do you have a party liquor of choice?
Beer and vodka works.
Forget both those and go to scotch.
Are you kidding me?
There you go. Do scotch and ice and water and sip it. Don't drink it like it's ice water.
Are you kidding me, Scotch?
You want party liquor. The problem is the carbohydrates in the beer are sending you over the edge. It's basically causing you to have a bit of pancreatitis. it's sending you over. And the vodka isn't processed. If you drink just vodka neat, that'd be one thing, but that's not how you drink it. It's all the stuff you're mixing with it. So if you can drink it, do scotch and ice, splash of water, sip it, enjoy it. You'll like it.
Well, that's a great suggestion. I hadn't thought of that. Actually, it'd be best not to have any.
Who said that?
I don't know. I don't have a rule about it.
Then don't make one about it.
Okay. So it's just chemistry, I understand.
Well, it is basic chemistry, because the chemistry is the reason you drink the alcohol. It's for the way you feel.
How would you suggest I feel?
With your fingers.
You're just funny, you know. You're just
funny. But of course, you're going to go back and listen to this, and we've told you a lot of stuff. They've already cleared this all up for you. I mean, for people, you got Dr. Dean. There's nothing else you can ever ask for on the planet. But
well, I'm delighted.
Be delighted. That's wonderful. You got to get over all this body stuff. You're way too into this damn body stuff. Your body isn't all that. Get on with it. Get on with it. Make something outside you more important than your meat sack. You're focused way too much on your meat sack. Get over that. Get something outside of it. Take up a sport that's life or death, skydiving or plane jumping outing or something, something.
Is it okay for me to go and invest in Central America?
Did you cough, Ion?
No, you don't cough.
Ion doesn't cough.
You didn't cough. Was that a non-comment?
Yeah, it was a non-comment.
Well, we're astounded. That, is it desirous for you to own Central America?
No.
Then is there a reason to invest in it?
I was just trying to find a safe place to put money. Well, Ion, I know you're kind of around all the time, aren't you? You don't really go away.
Right.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, Southern Company is where to put it.
Now look what he just said. Look at that fucking guy here. You fucking violate all fucking protocols, Ion. Jesus Christ.
He asked the question. He's going to go waste all of his money in Central America for people.
Well, excuse me. People are worrying about gold and silver, for Christ's sake. Who gives a
That's
fuck?
That's silly. Invest in our stuff. That's what the point
is. Yeah. See, Ion, you know, I have great appreciation for you. I don't take you as a silly guy. You're not a
jerk. You're a real guy. This whole thing is way too serious. It's a simple thing. Come back to your place of power. Come back to being God, and you're good. And everything you can think will be silly to do that. That's fine. If you have to blow your brains out to get there, okay. Do what you do, but get on with it.
Obviously, you don't really give a shit about me, do you?
We care more about you than you will ever care about you.
Ion cares more about you than you do about yourself.
More than you ever will. In your separated state, it's very difficult for you to feel or tell the difference. You've asked about feeling. You've asked about embracing. You've asked about contrast. You've asked about how your body's doing and the thing that your body's already doing. Well, see, your body has taken off. It's doing the ascended thing. The rest of you needs to catch up. The only problem with you and you in the distance between you and you, between the is's and the aren't's, is in the labyrinth of your mind. You are trying to trick your hypothalamus into attention, and it's already ascending. Your body is stretching to it, and it's very uncomfortable because you know what you know what you know, but you don't know what you know. That's the problem with knowing. When you don't know what you don't know, then you don't know what you don't know.
Okay, I absolutely agree.
Wonderful.
I have a question, Ion.
All right. Yes, dear.
I was on the veranda on Wednesday night, and I was looking at toward the Phoenix airport. All of a sudden, I saw a light. It was moving faster than all the planes, and then it moved to the north of me, and when I looked up, there was one red light and about 5 to 7 blinking lights, and then all of a sudden, from the south, Luke Air Force Base kicked off 2 fighter jets. What was going on there?
There's a lot of wormhole activity lately. There's a tremendous amount of, not portals, but wormholes that are left undone. what's happening. Your NASA and all your Air Force bases are on pretty high alert because on federal properties, things are showing up, things are disappearing, and things are showing up, and things are disappearing. So the FAA is being quite deliberate in their astute assumption that things that are foreign in the sky are foreign in the sky. A lot of times they lay those off to anomaly. They are no longer laying it off as anomaly. Now they are searching and looking and investigating every little blip that hits the radar screen.
It sounded like two jets. Was it two jets or three?
Three.
Was it five lights or seven or?
It was 100, but the only three were pointing toward you.
And the red light seemed to be stationary, even though the fire jets came over and the rest went away. What was the red light?
The only way we can describe that to you that you'd understand is base.
What was the word?
We said the red light was base. It's all about the base.
You mean BASS ion?
BASE.
BASE.
Ion.
Okay.
And in the past, Ion, I've heard you, you know, you put the, either, what is the index, middle finger, whatever, to your third eye, if you want to bring them down?
Yes.
Which one? Because I'm like, okay, I'm going to flip you off, maybe not.
Index.
Index. Okay.
Index.
And was I in any of those?
No. It's fine.
What's more amazing is we know exactly what's triggering it.
You can't tell us.
No, I can't. It would be a problem for a lot of people. But the point is, what's manifested has been so undeniable that, like Ion just said, they've all said, uh-oh, there's some interdimensional communication going on. We got to figure out whether it's hostile or not. That's what their big issue is right now. And that's what you were looking at. We had Armageddon last week, 2 weeks ago, was it?
It won't be long. It won't be long until you start hearing the references, because the first television setup that ever went out was Adolf Hitler making his speeches. It won't be long until you hear some of a feedback or a fallback from that communique.
Of Hitler broadcasting in the 30s. Is that what you're saying, Ayn? Hitler broadcasting in the 30s and 40s?
That was the first.
So, Ion, if I was to walk out from the porch over to where they were, was it like 5 or 10 miles and then up?
20.
It seemed very close. Yeah, 20 miles, okay.
But 20 miles, that would be like the tip of your nose from that angle.
It was cool.
Ion.
Yes.
Are you a part of us now?
We always were. We're the part of you, but when you separate yourself from your power, that's what caused us to be.
I know,
that's the point I was making, Kevin. We created non-physical.
Hi, Ivan.
Hi,
hey, Sugar.
What do you think about New York?
It's on fire.
Like fire, like it's hot? Like I should feel hot?
This fire has heat in it.
Can you elaborate on that?
Here at the wall.
Ion, when Bob was talking earlier about the Ebola, are we looking at millions or billions?
Billions of Ebola.
Oh, okay. Human creators, millions or billions?
You didn't say the verb, Renee. You're not saying the verb.
Then help me out, Bob.
Well, just say the word dying. I assume that's what you mean.
Oh, well, okay, leaving. Oh, shit, this reality, whatever.
Okay. A lot of folks will get the Ebola and worse.
And it's not man-made in the sense of genetically engineered.
Well, yeah, it is man-made, genetically engineered, because the genetics of man is what engineered it. You little men got to say that made this valid, so... Little manship is what created it, because if you were a god, you wouldn't have this as an issue.
So non-physical is involved, too.
For sure. Oh, for sure. We decided how to make a blip and show up and how to get it into the people's neighborhoods. So we said, get happy or get out. If you don't want to do that, we'll take care of it for you.
Is it manufactured out of a lab, or does it manifest in a broader causation?
The human petri dish is the best one.
So it's being made in labs, petri dishes.
In man's
body.
Men's bodies are the best petri dishes.
Keeps it nice and warm.
Did it originate in man's body, Ion? It did, in little men's bodies, yes.
Okay, if somebody's not taking the drops, or citrus work, or what would be the other thing that would...
Blood of the lamb. Blood from the perfect, unblemished lamb. That'll work. That's how they cured it so far, is with the transfusion.
I guess the question is, since it was a full-blown, okay, it's all happening here, and now they're still letting planes in and people across the border, is this intentional?
They can't stop it, darling. You got to realize you squish it down and it squirts out somewhere else. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
It's not like us little men used to have AIDS or HIV, you know, we push it off and push it off. This is a killer.
A little man.
Would you compare the numbers of little men transitioning in this virus and this now to other plagues of the past?
This really isn't a plague. Everything that's new and shifting to the body... It's new and shifting the body and causes what you call sudden and quick death, because most of those folks are already dead. They're waiting on a disease to claim the body.
Regarding numbers, but just to help us put in perspective the numbers of little men that might transition from Ebola.
You can get a good C. diff would wipe out a third of the planet. A good, strong C. diff would wipe out a third of the planet.
Dip. A dip in the sea?
C. diff, Clostridia. It's a Clostridia. It's a bacteria.
And is that related to Ebola?
No. Different. But a good strain of C. diff would wipe out a third of your planet today.
Is that something in our future now?
You already have C. diff.
If we want it to be. If we keep talking about it and talking about Ebola and talking about how horrible it is and talking.
Let's talk about when the flesh rots and starts falling off the bone. That's our favorite.
So, Ion, let's talk about when we come in, as we come into our power. Let's talk about coming into our power as human creator gods.
Do you have any flesh falling off your body?
No, I won't choose to have flesh.
Well, you have dead skin coming off your body.
That's right. See, now what we're trying to bring up the point here, this is the point. You have staff. You would have a conversation that would go like, hey, Ion, if you're non-physical, why don't you just get rid of staff? Get rid of staff. Well, we say, well, we would, but you'd be dead in a minute because you got to have staff. That's what's eating your flesh off your body so you can make more dermis. So it's a good thing, but once you get it in your body, then all of a sudden your body has to fight it. And if it can't fight it, then it can overtake you, okay, and you become septic, and then you die. Okay, that's one aspect. But now here's the thing. What you want is a body that is resilient, that you come into your place of power. And when you come into your place of power, then the cares of life grow strangely dim, and all these things, you'll be the one dobbing the sores of the leper colony. And they wonder why you can't quite seem to catch the leprosy or the pox. The pox doesn't seem to hang around at your house.
So all the people during the plague, the ones that adhered and helped the others, were in their power.
Yeah, they'll have pep rallies. We gonna do the plague. We gonna do the plague. Instead of the wave, they could do the plague. It'd be great fun. You'll see.
Well, I'm sure firsthand.
And it's fun. And you'll notice that they start changing the way they think. Notice how life all of a sudden has no value. This is the thing. little men are giving up. Little men are giving up. They people wake up and they go, I want to get high, or I want to go do something. I don't know. And they'll get their Glock and they go shoot people in the head for sport, just for fun. Or they take their car for $9, they destroy something wonderful or something. It's because they don't see life as having value. And so that's what a little man would do, would treat it as not value or without care or without regard. Do you see? A little baby may be starving to death, but they'll still play with their food, flop it around all over the place. They don't know no better. But that's sort of the way the little ones do it.
Well, at personal experience with suicide,
yeah.
Sometimes do the little man just, is it the ultimate fuck you? When they, before they leave. In their little brain.
No. It's a quick way to come into your place of power when you won't let yourself.
Okay.
You're doing, every death is a suicide. We've covered that. But, I mean, the physical where you do it yourself, suicide, a self-assisted self, a selfie side instead of suicide.
This is Era from Sweden. Jean, did
Hello?
You get all your answers about the seeds that you were asking last week?
I did, thank you.
Because I was wondering whether we actually need those seeds from back in time. What's wrong? Is there actually problems with all the seeds in the plants that we have around now?
Not to us.
And then we understand that we are going to create or recreate plants that we have seen already. And you told us long ago that the climate is going to be one climate for all of the planet. Is that still online?
It is that already.
Well, in Georgia, you have heat waves that we don't have in Sweden. Is that going to change?
Yes.
So
you have glaciers that are melting that we don't have on the other side. It's all relative. You have to do it all as a me. Do you have a refrigerator?
Yes.
Inside the refrigerator, every part of that is the same temperature, isn't it? Kind of climate control.
Hmm.
But the top of the refrigerator is cooler than the bottom of the refrigerator, yes?
Okay.
But it's all climate controlled. So your world is climate controlled.
That sounds fun.
Oh, it varies. So stuff might freeze at the top, but it gets maybe too warm. That's why you put the vegetables at the bottom, because they don't get quite as cool, so they'll stay crisp.
Yeah, I remember you answered almost the same way last time we asked.
Yes, it was a magical thing. Now, let's go into the binomial nomenclature of these vermin you're trying to excavate.
Am I trying to, really? Then you know more than me.
Well, imagine that. The seed, it's not in the seed, okay? It's not in the harvest. It's not in the harvest. It's not in the harvest. That's the point. It's not in the harvest. So it's not about the seed. What's going to happen is that the world is changing. So you could take a perfect seed and put it in a barren land and it still wouldn't work. You see,
yep.
You still haven't discerned the distance between the wheat and the tares, or whether it falls on good soil or rocky soil. But that's neither here nor there. All that will take care of itself. And yes, those seeds that you're talking about are in the paw of Bob's head, in the Sphinx, in the land of Giza. And yes, don't worry about Egypt. We have it thoroughly under control. There is no problem. They're going to do what they do, but all the artifacts are safe. We have them already. There's not going to be a Sotheby's sale at the High Museum in Alexandria.
What about the Steps Pyramid in Bosnia, close to Josip?
It's a portal.
Are there many more pyramids there that are still to be found?
Some have been buried, but built. You know, they had a lot of silt over the years that filled in spaces. That's made great farmland. But there are some just about 2 clicks to the west of that pyramid. There's another one and that's where they have cows. They think they were stealing them, and cows just disappear. Just
okay.
They fall through the portals.
So these are big pyramids that looks like mountains today, but they are covered with soil.
Silt, yes.
Will all that silt wash off naturally, or
no.
Man is...
No, you don't want to.
You need to hide it in plain sight.
Are they important in anything?
Gateways, portals, keyholes, man in the mirror, mantle, Bob, necromancer.
Mantle.
Wait.
Yeah, and if we go back to the mounds in England, you said there was one power place more important than the others, and that's also covered in silk, I think.
Pericles.
It's in Avesbury, the one I think of.
It is, but we're saying that it is Pericles, the cold. Not a location, it's a description.
Pericles is a person.
A Greek god.
Yes. Bob is just on the money tonight.
Is he still around doing things?
Temple Pericles?
Yeah, Pericles, yes.
Of course he is. Let's talk about your horror. Would you like to talk about your horror? Would you like to lower your chi and open that whole paradigm or whimsy world of whimsy?
I've heard you talked about it before.
Yes, good. Imagine that.
Yeah.
It's a reverb.
Good.
I'm going to put this in the reverb thing. We'll take you all the way back to Tale of Chi. Dr. Dean groans in the background. Tale.
Yeah, it's 5 years ago. Why was I reverberating? My voice apparently was distorted when I was talking after you left. Is that reverb?
It was a verb because there was a bit of amplitude that was caused, and that was just the outcome.
Now, what caused the amplitude? Are there factors we are not considering? You did. I was channeling ion.
No, your waves were in ours, so it was verb. The loop to the loo, my darling.
Was that because it was significant what Bob was saying at the time?
Always.
Can we go back to the lowering of the horror?
Hold on. Wait a minute now. You're not going to lower the horror. You're going to lower your chi. Can you put your hands up over your head real straight and tall?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you turn your palms so they're facing away from each other at the top of your own, the hands up in the air, straight up over your head. Turn your hands so that the two tops of your hand are touching.
Yes.
Okay, and now your elbows are bent just a little bit because your hands are touching, yes?
Yes.
But straight up over your head, yes?
Yes.
So are your little fingers touching and your thumbs touching? Now, when you get there, then you stretch it up just a little bit further. So you're going like reaching to the sky. You'll feel it like in your rib cage. If you do it right, you'll feel that just a little bit. Then you go a little bit more and pull just a little bit. You're like, yikes, what's that? Got it?
Yeah.
And your form's stuck, so... Straighten everything up. You're a little bit all over the place. Get right. One elbow is out further than the other, so get them the same. You forget we do this. We know you, so now spread your feet out just a little bit since you got up. Make them be about equal to your shoulders. If the wind were blowing, you'd sort of brace yourself. Make that stance. Like if the wind was really blowing, you were like going to stand in the wind to fortify yourself, be able to stand up. And then take your hands, go straight up high.
Yes.
Arm facing out. Take a nice deep breath. And then as you inhale, exhale slowly. Take your hands and come down till they're far like making the circle coming down and stop when they're exactly halfway, which would make like a cross parallel with the ground. Hold it right there until you feel that in your shoulders. When you hold it out there for a little while, you'll feel it in your shoulders. Do you yet?
Yes.
Describe what you feel.
Balanced.
Do you feel any sensation in your shoulders?
It's a weight on the shoulders.
It does, but is it getting sharp? And do you feel it being different now than it was a moment ago? Mm-hmm.
I can feel it.
Well, that's your chi. And that joint that you're feeling right there, that is your chi. And how intense it is how high your chi is. Your chi is not too far out of balance, so it's not like excruciatingly painful for you. But you'll hear other folk people that are trying to do what we're telling you to do. We're not telling them to do it. We're telling you, but they're going to do it too. That's okay. And sometimes it's much sharper, much more painful, kind of like a knife. And it hurts. When your chi is higher. Now, what you're doing is then you continue with your hands on down to your side. So you've made a great big circle. And you breathe again, and you inhale deep as you possibly can. And as you're inhaling, you take your hands back up in a reverse motion, winding it up like the sun coming up, all the way up, all the way up. Inhaling, 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 and then touch them again. So that the tops of your hands are touching each other. Your little fingers are touching, and your thumbs are touching, and your index fingers touching. And you're pointing your index finger to the sky as high as you can. And stretch it. Really get it out there. And then you come back down, and go halfway. And then sometimes in the feeble ones, you'll snap, crackle, and pop a little bit. That's okay. It's good for you. Snap, crackle, and pop doesn't hurt you. And then when you get halfway, hold it. You'll start to feel it. You'll feel it in your shoulders, and it'll be like, ah. And how long it takes to get there, that's where your chi is. Your chi is meeting you. And then go back down. Now, then you're breathing. Remember, inhaling and exhaling as you're going up and down. And do that a couple of several dozen times or so in the morning or whenever you're working around doing what you want to do. And it will lower your chi. It will increase your ability to connect, which will open your hara. We love your hair, by the way.
Thank you.
Ayan, I want to personally thank you for those drops. I mean, it seems like they're just getting stronger by the dose.
They are.
Now, is the living water, is that an extension of the drops? Is that going to be sort of along the same formula?
No, it's not a formula. Not a formula. It's the extraction of the eye cell out of the RNA drops that will be contained in the living water. Inside the RNA drops is the eye cell and insulin nodes. Out of that, then that water will beget. And so that water, that living water, just like in the well of the ancient Samaritan well, will contain eye cell.
Did the Ark of the Covenant have eye cells in it?
No, it did not have it in it.
I mean, did it have manna inside the Ark of the Covenant?
No, it did not have manna inside the Ark of the Covenant.
Did the Ark of the Covenant, is it in the U.S., continental U.S., or is it in Europe?
Neither.
Has it been recently found?
It was never lost. So it could not be recently found.
Did Andrew go back and visit the Ark of the Covenant?
No.
But he did go through a portal at the L'Hermitage?
Yes, he did do that.
Is there a process in which he can remember that episode?
If you push it, then your body's going to kick. If you push it, if your body's going to respond in kind, and you will not enjoy it. It will not be pleasurable for you. Because your body knows better than you. You're trying to put something back together that's already together. You see? It's like Brindle Fly. Do you remember Brindle Fly?
No.
Do you remember the movie The Fly?
Yes.
Well, the Jeff Goldblum version of it was Brindle Fly. And that was the part where it was a connection. It was put together, and then it was reanimated and made different, and it changed eternally because there was a speck of the fly DNA in the transporter from side to side. So he was all mixed up together. So when you push against what your body naturally does and then you try to overthink it, you become Brundlefly.
So did he return? Is that him who returned, or he hasn't returned yet?
He hasn't returned yet.
He went there in the physical, or he was in the astral plane?
There's no difference. What you're talking about is an astral plane, we say, is a geographic location. You're trying to say that it's something outside your body that you can achieve or touch too, and we say there's no difference. You're going to find very quickly, if you move worlds, you're still you. You're still all of you, regardless of the world. And the pain of his essence in the halls of the
mind. Well, then why are you saying that he hasn't returned? If he's already at the same spot where he left, this gets a little confusing.
Well, exactly, because the pain has nothing to do with geographic location. You're saying that's a separate thing from the body itself. And we're saying that he left, he hasn't come back yet. Someone else did, but he hasn't come back yet.
You mean his multi-universe has multiple bodies and not one? So he's exchanged one body for the other, or one soul for the other.
Notice you can actually tolerate him now, eh?
No, I like him. We've been hanging out. Okay, we went out to lunch one day, and we went into this Thai restaurant, Phuket Thai. I bet you pronounced that, I think, Phuket Thai. And they were playing some music, some low-dim, non-lyric music. We go walking in there, and all of a sudden Dark Horse comes on, and the manager gets all spooked and does a double take and runs to the back and changes the channel. We try to get him to keep it on. Now, did you put that music on?
We did.
Yeah, we were cracking up.
It was fun, though.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
Just remember, before you give it all to me, you better know what you're in for.
Now, what does the Dark Horse represent?
Bob, the Sphinx, Bob, sitting in Giza.
So Bob is the Messiah?
No, Bob is the Sphinx.
He's not the messenger, he's the Sphinx?
Who? Bob a messenger? He's never made a sentence in his life.
What's under his feet?
We already did that. Bob, tell him what's under your left foot.
Coldplay with a box that says Dobbstown on it.
And seeds, and honey, and anthrax, and good strychnine. No more of this stale strychnine. We're done with that. And
so Bob's the killer and the ascender.
Those are the Gazarian has come. We're getting it primed up for the all-female version of Ghostbusters is coming. You're going to love it.
Who's starring in that?
Female.
Is there a difference between using portals and teleporting?
Yes. One requires a Wi-Fi network, and the other one uses data.
Shapeshifters, do they teleport as well as travel through the portals?
Yes, they can, but they don't have to. These shapeshifters, they're split. They're split. They're almost there and not there. They're the ones that won't make a reflection. So they'll be right there, but you don't see them in the mirror. So they really don't count because they're there and not there.
So are they like non-committal?
Is there an easy way to recognize when you're among or around a shapeshifter? I mean, telepathically, you can pick up on them?
They smell like powder.
Like baby powder?
Not quite that strong, but you mean like a calamine powder or soft powder. And you get a little kind of like get in your nose. Powder kind of thing. They smell like powder.
Okay, so they have a distinct smell about them.
They do, powder. And it'll vary. The powder smell, it varies. They'll smell like powder.
Do they breed with humans?
No.
Can they teach a human how to do what they do, shapeshift?
No.
Is that a characteristic in their genes, or is that something that's taught?
No.
How do they develop that skill, or how do you identify that?
No, they have it. They don't develop it. They don't get it. They don't change their DNA to have it. They already have it.
So they've always been here then. They've been here through the centuries.
Are we more powerful than them, I am?
Depends. Listening to this call tonight, can't imagine. So, yeah, today, cute little man, not so good. But you do have some redemptive policies that help you.
Can we teleport humans? Can we teleport as well as use the portals?
Of course, you do. Yeah. You do that more than you use portals.
Well, I just picked up on the first episode of a new show that came out. It's called Tomorrow's People. In that first episode, that episode is actually pretty right on. You could actually do a lot of what they're showing in that series. Is that correct?
That's where they got the idea from.
So it's just a matter now of trying to figure out how to channel that, knowing or channel the process, rather than saying that you've done it and now you can't remember.
Well, you can remember. You're the only one that doesn't remember. Everyone else remembers.
No one else on this line that I hear calling in say that they remember. They kind of vaguely have a guess of what they thought they did. I can't remember
well,
exactly
people,
what they had
done. Sending people don't brag.
They're just being kind.
Just being kind and not the bragging.
They're just being kind. It's one thing to have beautiful foundational garments, but it's another thing to describe them. It's just vulgar.
This is Mark from San Diego. Hey, Ion, last week you were talking to Eben, and she was talking about the four parcels of land that needed to be sold. And
no,
she was
that were going to be sold. East of Eden.
And she was asking about the monetary value, and you said it's sort of like silver. And you said sometimes it's four, sometimes it's 50. And then I think you said other times it's $16.25.
Yeah.
And then you said sometimes it's 118 P.E. ratio.
Yeah.
But silver does not have a P.E. ratio.
No, but derivatives of land options do.
Okay, I thought maybe you were referring to a company.
No.
Okay.
We could talk about a company. Would you like to?
Sure. Can I ask another question first? I'm the guy, as you know, but for everyone else, I had invested heavily in silver, and silver has done nothing but go down.
No. Silver has not gone down. Money just got cheaper.
Okay. The price per dollar has gone down, but the exchange rate. Now, in my conversation, and I did not pick it up at the time, only when I went back and listened to the recording, I was talking about, for example, how long do I have before the price totally collapses, and then we went into a dialogue, and you asked me the question, will silver go up over the next 129 and a half days? And I said, I didn't know, and you said, we do, and then you kind of laughed. That, to me, says that silver is going to go up in price over the next 129 and a half days. Did I read that correctly?
It could.
Now, recently, someone asked you about the bottom, and you said that would be $9.10.
Yes.
But, you know, at the time we were speaking, it was $20.89 an ounce. Is that 910 going to be achieved before it surpasses the 2089 again?
Two things have to happen. You've got to breach the 17395. Once you breach the 17395, then you're going to kind of look at the spot from your bid over.
Yeah.
You've got to breach that. Once you breach that, then you're having a different conversation.
Now, when you say 17,395, I think it closed Friday at 17,35.
We know.
So when you say 17,395, that doesn't make sense to me.
It will. That's the spot open.
Okay, so it's going to be 17,390.39
Correct.
Okay, so it's going to be different once it reaches.
In our world, pips matter. We do the 395.
Okay. Now, when it exceeds that, then you said it's going to be a different conversation.
But then a change occurs. So the answer to your question, see, you know, we have to be very careful. Because you ask these ridiculous non-entity questions, we answer them, and that makes the market. Now all of a sudden it all changes. So we're answering the questions, it's just right as it could ever be, right. But we already know that our words move the market. So we can say that, and it changes it. So now we're giving a benchmark. So when this occurs, okay. 17 through 95 occurs, then a series of unfortunate events dot ensue. Okay, Miss Yellen, we just adore Janet. We think she is just the kitty cat meow.
Someone is asking about silver, and you said you need to get over all this kind of little stuff because we're right on the edge when everything is fixing to change and everybody's going to have lots of money.
They already do. You do, for Pete's sake.
Relatively speaking?
Do you realize how much cash you had to have to buy all this ridiculous silver in the first place? Do you count that as nothing?
No, I consider that something.
A lot of people would be thrilled with the money you've lost on silver so far.
And to be honest, Ion, I'm trying to exit.
We don't care if you are. We know, but see, you jumped into it. This is Brundlefly. You wanted to jump into it, you jumped in it, now you're trying to get out of it. Well, you can. It's not quite as easy to get out of it as it is to get into it.
No.
It takes
no.
twice as long to get out of it as it did for you to get into it.
Yeah.
The issue is not whether to play the game or not. It's the reason to play the game in the first place. The motivation to buy all that silver was that you were going to get just filthy fucking rich instantly. It didn't work out that way, did it?
No.
The motivation is what drives the predication, the outcome.
Ion, you said during our last conversation that I went out and bought silver without asking you, but at that time I didn't know of Ion, so I couldn't have asked.
You seem to seek out information from any other vegetable of consciousness. You act as though we were not then. We certainly were.
No, I know you were. So I didn't ask my non-physical...
You ask everyone in the world what kind of toothbrush to own, but you couldn't consult someone about this before you decided to take the bite. Interesting.
Right. Okay, then I'm just going to be patient and look for the opportunity to exit.
Mark, why don't you get your money, invest in Southern Company. Said
no, we didn't say that. We didn't say that to him. No. That was another someone else. That wasn't
That's right.
Ion, getting back to what you said to me when I mentioned Eben and that little conversation, do we want to talk about a company?
Vicks
Vapor Rub?
No. That's the volatility index.
Yeah.
You know, Ion, when you were talking to Kalicia back in September on triple witching, I went back and listened to that about the contracts not holding, and I was trying to figure out how I could do something with that, and I was looking at the VIX. I think at that time the VIX was 12 or 13, and I think it's over 21 now.
Yes.
So that would have been a very good trade, but, you know, I'm sure Kalicia understood what you were saying, and I was guessing.
She's very, get this information out of her. She won't tell you shit. She's po and just getting by and all this ridiculous stuff. Don't believe it for one second. She's quite shrewd, and she's very good with her non-physical to figure it out. She'll put the dog on the scent. And get right to that edge, and before she trees the coon, she'll call us.
So the VIX is still a good trade.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be sparked
by the
third
of December.
Yeah, the quadruple witching hour.
Yeah.
So, okay, great. You know, when we were talking, you were telling me that Norfolk, Virginia incident where an angel dragged me from another world. You mentioned the angel's name is Howard. And
yes.
Do I just have one angel that's been with me my lifetime?
No, you have more than that. There's tons of angels. That's okay. Just a specific one that seems to get in your shit more than others.
Does that angel mess with me a lot?
Everyone does.
Okay, they mess with everybody.
No, everyone messes with you. So you
oh, really?
Tell. They do. Well, do you think?
If you say so, I guess.
No. See, ever how you see it is how it goes. They'll follow that moniker so that they fit in. Otherwise, you could pick them out like a sore thumb. See, once you've done this a little bit, Bob can spot them in a second. He's about right. Be very precise about it. He can spot it in a second. He knows, and he knows what to do. But
right.
If you don't, then how very clever of them to figure out that that is your Achilles heel.
What can Bob spot?
Other forms of life.
Okay.
Could you give me an example, if it's not too personal, of where Howard has gotten involved in my life?
It would be drastically personal and quite invasive, but what better form to keep something like that secret than here on an archived radio show forever?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's that secret, but...
it won't be long.
I know. You know, I was kind of surprised when I listened to that again that... you know, why did Howard pull me back from that other world? Why didn't he just leave me there and let me drown or experience cellular obliteration?
Because that's not your end.
Okay.
You're here for a purpose, for a reason. We're speaking to you for a reason, for a purpose. You have practical functions.
Can you share some of those functions?
No.
Okay.
You're going to figure it out. We're going to keep at you till you do.
Right.
And it's going to be okay. Just quit stabbing in the dark. And don't drink milk out of the carton.
I usually don't.
No, don't.
Okay, don't. You know, when we had that conversation on silver, in the course of 20 minutes, you told me to sell it, and if I didn't believe you, to short it, to throw it in the garbage can, to convert it to something more valuable that people want. And in the very end, when I started indicating that I wanted to get rid of it, then you kind of jumped on me and, you know, and that's where we went through the whole impetus of why did you buy it? And
right.
You basically said the reason to buy it is a good enough reason to keep it. So, okay, but if it's going to continue to lose money, or
it's not down yet, you haven't sold.
I haven't sold an ounce, but if it continues to drop in price, I may have to wait a long, long time.
There's no time, Mark.
Well, I know that. I may have to wait a while to convert some of
but
this.
But if we bring
only
you back.
One while.
Okay, and here's the last thing I'm going to, because I know other people want to jump in.
You said
in.
That 5 minutes ago.
I did? Okay. When you say that money has gotten better, I don't see how that's possible, because you even were talking about some time ago $1 trillion and how people have no idea what $1 trillion is, and the published national debt is $17.5 trillion. We owe the Chinese $76 trillion, and there's $1.5 quadrillion worth of derivatives out there, and money has been printed and printed and printed. I know it's dead and it's fiat, but I just don't see how you could say money has gotten better.
There's a lot more of it.
Well, expansion of money supply is the definition of inflation and debasement of the currency.
No, it isn't. You can't debase a currency that isn't based on anything.
Well, the more in circulation, doesn't that reduce the value?
Do you not know the difference between M1 and M2?
I'm familiar with M1, 2, and 3.
Okay. And you're speaking of dilution of a currency?
Right.
If you know what M1 is, you know that's the money that's in play right now that's hot. That's based on the gross national product. And they curb and yield curb and thrust and yaw and pitch, trying constantly to keep it to the GNP. M2 is all the money that all the money is all the money. That's the ridiculous quarters that people put under their mattress and all that stuff of just stray money that's really not anywhere, but it's still money. It's still in circulation. They don't worry about that because you're probably not going to spend those quarters. You've already lost them anyway, but that's just free money. Okay? We want to bring this all back and say how ridiculous the conversation is at all, but we don't want to do that. We'll be soft and easy and gentle. But the whole point is if you hear your words of what you're saying, it's like, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Because here's the thing. You had money when it was cheap. You thought gold was a good buy. So money was worth more than gold or silver, and you swapped it for silver. And now you decided that that was going to take you to the moon, and then you were going to exchange it back for dollars that already aren't worth anything, that you didn't think were worth anything, that now really aren't worth anything, because now the thing you traded those worthless dollars for is turning to silver, which is also worthless. So why don't you just trade it back for your dollars, and maybe the dollars will go back up? But Janet Yellen doesn't think so. And we just adore Janet Yellen.
So by you saying that, dollars are going to go down.
No more.
She's going to put more dollars in circulation.
She has QE 4037 on the books.
Really? And we've gone through QE 3 officially.
Mm-hmm.
So that means
you've just printed more.
Well, I know they've done some other things.
They are their own best bond salesmen these days.
Sure. And the country of Belgium.
Easy.
That's kind of it.
Well, what's wrong with Belgium?
Well, it looks like as we're tapering, that Belgium is picking up the slack, and they're not a large country, and they've purchased something like $400 billion worth of bonds, basically the same amount that we've tapered. And to me, Brussels is the headquarters for the European Union, I believe. So it looks like they may be stepping up to the plate.
You'll have to ask Bob.
Yeah, what's the topic?
Two bonds that you're dumping through Brussels. Prussia, Bob, Prussia.
Yeah, Prussia. Are you talking about the World Series or something else?
No. I'm just saying that the Federal Reserve is tapering on their quantitative easing, so they say.
Yeah.
It's just kind of ironic that the amount that we have tapered, the country of Belgium has purchased.
Not the country of Belgium. It's one entity in the
country. The Central Bank of Belgium, I guess.
No, customer at the Central Bank made a slotted purchase. Look it up.
I will do that.
Which country was that?
Belgium.
That's Prussia. That's Leopold II, Marie de something, everything we've talked about, if you've heard a lot of stuff. That's the nexus that still trying to keep independent of us.
You know, Ian, you mentioned recently that the parallel world economies, and I went back looking for that Michael Jackson era tape and archive, and I couldn't find it.
Are you talking about one you purchased?
No, you mentioned the parallel world economies, and you said Ian identified the four entities that are involved in that. And it was around the time of Michael Jackson's death.
Michael Jackson didn't die.
Oh, I know, but his claimed transition.
Yeah. You can look for that on Ion on Blogspot. Ed may have them by topics.
Yeah, I think I didn't look at that. But anyway, Ion was saying, how do you think Johnson Matthey became the world's largest refiner? And I went to their website, and they list the categories of where they get the metals, you know, the ore. They list four categories, and one is through mines that they buy the ore from and, you know, scrap, and then some is jewelry. And the fourth one is from financial institutions. I thought that was strange that a source of ore would come from financial institutions until you mentioned these parallel world economies.
Also Depot Street.
I mean, it's plain as day right on their website. And then you look at the banks that are involved with them, and it's all the top guys, you know.
Now, where's that? Well, you want to send me that link or whatever it is you're talking
about? Yeah, I just went to the Johnson Matthey website and went into, you know, about us. And,
are you a member of Dupes?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, post it on Dupes.
So while you're setting your filter, make sure you get rid of your Bitcoin, too. Oh, yeah, we already recorded.
I never bought
because
any of those.
We told you not to. You were smart.
Yeah. I stayed away from that. You know, I think that everything you say about gold and silver is true. They're a hedge. They don't go up and down. Money does. And you use the analogy of, you said in 1920, you could, for an ounce of gold, you could buy a man's fine suit. And today, for an ounce of gold, you could buy that suit. But what doesn't get said by many people is that back in 1920, an ounce of gold, for example, was priced at $20.67, and you could walk into a bank and give them a $20 bill and some change and get an ounce of gold. And if you would have, in 1920, if you would have put that $20 bill and that ounce of gold in a safe and opened it today, the ounce of gold, you can buy the suit. But the $20 bill, you couldn't even buy a tie with.
Yes, you can, because that $20 bill that you put in there wouldn't be a Federal Reserve note. It'd be a gold certificate. It would still buy the suit.
Okay.
Look at it. That is a Federal Reserve note.
So what are you leading to, Mark? What's your point here about 1920?
That paper money is totally devalued.
It's never had any value. You ridiculous person. Listen to what you're saying. The fiat currency that is bought with fiat money, that's the creation. The only way that the United States can print money is if they sell their bonds. Well, how crazy is it? If they sell their bonds, they've got the money. Why the fuck do you got to print money if you got to sell the bonds to make the money? Just take the money that bought the bonds and use that and put that money in circulation. But you make rules about the cyclical cycles of sickles and cycles and cycles and sickles and sickles and cycles. The cycling sickles that have to now buy something and take something and run it up the flagpole, run it back down, bury it in a peat bog, bring it back, obsolesce it, retrieve it, send it to Bob, let Bob eat ice cream, Bob will shit it, and it turns back into money.
Bob ecology.
So I have a false understanding of money then.
Well, yeah, because any time when they say that this isn't money, this is for all debts, public and private, that it's for debt.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not like trying to fool you. They're being straight up. Oh, no, that's because that's how you pay a debt. You pay a debt with a debt. Right.
Yeah.
And that's like the wages of sin.
Okay. I understand.
Don't understand. Know something. If you know something, then you can move in this world. Not a problem. You've got to figure out the distance between the is and the honesties. But, you know, it's amazing you say all these puffed up, beautiful words, but you can't keep your greed in check long enough not to waste your fortune on damn silver that was going down the toilet before you ever got started. Funny to us.
Well, it was actually going up pretty aggressively.
So it was rough, right?
Ion, should he trade his silver for yuan?
We like you, Ion.
Ion, if you were advising me today, I mean, you gave me advice a couple months ago and basically said just kind of wait, you know, hold on to it. And why would you trade it for pieces of paper that are really dead? Is that still the best advice, is just to only sell it when I have to? And would you offer a piece of advice on that?
Okay, right now it's messing you up. It's messing you up. We say send it to all of it to a refinery and have it really, really, really refined and make dishes out of it. And use the dishes to have a party and invite very nice people who would appreciate your life's endeavor of owning silver and then let them eat off of those dishes. Then your money will be worth it.
And I think the reason you told me in July to throw it away is when you're consumed with the money, it's hard to come into your power.
If you ever make it be about the money may not be enough.
Right.
The second you embrace this thing with the silver, it's been your downfall. Your Achilles tendon.
And that's why I would love to get out of it with the least amount of damage as possible.
Give it no damage. It'll be a complete tax deduction. Give it away. All of it.
Oh, okay.
I have stool that I can't move out of my bowels. Oh, I got stool. I'm taking a laxative. Oh, I've got magnesium, but it won't give me a laxative effect. Ooh, I've got stool. I've got to move. I can't move my bowels. Ooh, I'm all constipated. Oh, there's two kinds of people. One that's got piles, and them's going to get piles. You're going to separate yourself from your Achilles, or the turd may strike back.
Okay, I think I'm going to sell it and buy a bathtub full of Renew.
Yeah. Don't buy rock candy. Buy saltwater candy. And sit down and eat every piece of it.
And invest in Southern Comfort. Or Southern Company. That'll distract
him. Oh, that was
just between
was
you and me. Let I laugh on the corner.
That was scotch. That was a scotch and water.
I ain't telling you something, Mark. I ain't telling you something. Yeah, I heard that. So,
Hey,
Mark. There's two. There's the parallel world economy. The money economy is a phatic economy. PHATIC.
Right.
There's no actual substance being connected. It's just phatic. One bank says the other, how you doing? And the second bank says, I'm fine, how you doing? And that's all they do. That's their money exchange. It's phatic.
I thought there were agents going to other worlds and bringing back.
Oh, that's the parallel world economy. But the general secular world economy is a phatic economy.
Right.
It's crypto and our.
Crypto what?
Crypto anarchist.
Crypto anarchist. But listen, Mark, go read Baudrillard's books. Read any of his books, Transparency of Evil, books like that, about the economy. You'll understand the phatic nature of it.
Okay. Okay. Hey, thanks, Ion.
You're welcome, Mark.
Ion, speaking about gold and China and reset, I just read an article from October 1st, talking about Dr. Jim Willey's predictions. He's an economist. He said that China will demand physical delivery on their massive number of gold contracts they currently hold in the U.S., and that's how they'll reset the global currency market, by raising the price of gold to its true or actual value.
No, that wouldn't affect the economy. Gold, silver, metals don't affect the divine, phatic, Baudrillardian economy.
Okay.
That's why it never crashed. It'll never crash. It's a virtual economy. People worried about the economy crashing buy gold and silver. That's how behind the ball they are.
If China's getting ready to make some major changes.
China's not doing anything.
Those rules are.
China's not doing anything. They don't have to do anything. They're waiting for us to fucking produce. We're the motor key of the new economy, and they're waiting for us to get it going.
That's why I'm following up, Bob, because, yes, I've heard that China's been collecting all the gold, and then it eventually goes to you. So that's why I was asking the question.
Crypto anarchist.
Crypto anarchist.
Bob, you're going to let it go? She just accused you of taking over all the gold in the world. You got something to say about that, Dan?
No, no, you said that. You've mentioned that 100 times. I said, we're just going to warehouse it. We're just going to warehouse it. It has nothing to do with the New World.
So, specifically, how many 40-foot Landsea containers of gold would you contain today?
I'd put in a museum.
Okay.
Yes, it's confidential.